Brian says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn.
Welcome to the show, folks.
We came from the West Virginia.
You are tuned in to the Trump phenomenon here on August 16th, 2017. I'm James Kelso. The show is live. And with us, our full complement of co-hosts, Paul Fromm in Canada. Honored to have you here, Paul.
Yeah, great to be here.
And George, covering the East Coast.
Good to be here, James.
And thank you. And good to have you folks out there in the audience. If you want to participate in the show tonight, 800-313-9443. We'll endeavor to get your calls in. I've got a caller board here, thanks to the astute engineers at Republic Broadcasting Network, who bring you all of this from their actual studio in Austin, Texas. This is a real achievement of the Patriot cause, is that John Stadtmiller's actually built a bricks and mortar studio in Austin, Texas, with real live super duper engineers, able to bring you a quality of radio not available in heretofore in our shoutcasting efforts and our podcasting efforts. This is radio that's every bit as good technically as the radio the big networks ever brought you. So,
and 10 times as good in terms of content and honesty.
Yes. So show your appreciation with your contributions to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Also, if you want to help this show out, well, you can do that. I'll give you an address. It's my name, James Kelso, P.O. Box 9, East Grand Forks, Minnesota, MN 56721. And every dollar counts, because there is no piggy bank here. There is no sugar daddy or anything else. I'm paying for this show. And so if you send in $10, I will thank you. That makes a difference. And thank you very much to folks who are sending in as much as $100. Thank you very much. When those come in, you can hear the whoops and hollers. Here, I actually live in North Dakota. The Minnesota P.O. Box is right across the Red River, which flows up to your Canada, Paul, flows north. Well, let's see, what can we cover today? Something that we haven't covered that would normally be an immense story. For some presidents in our history, this one event would have made their presidency. And that is this: Donald Trump got the North Korean madman to back down. What has he accomplished? He may have averted war, may have averted World War III, may have averted a smaller war, may have averted the first use of a nuclear device since Nagasaki. He may have averted a whole bunch of things that would make all of our lives tremendously worse. And he did that exactly as he said he would do it. Donald Trump correctly said that only China can rein in the North Korean communist dictator. He was right about that. He then did what was necessary. He put the screws to the Chinese dictator. It worked. The Chinese dictator applied the heat to Kim Jong-un, and Kim Jong-un has backed down. And Donald Trump, showing another brilliant touch of a great man, did the right thing, and he praised Kim Jong-un for doing the right thing. Folks, you just may have, and I've said on this show, he's a man of peace. He demonstrated it right there, peace through strength, demonstrated right before our eyes. But this story has been buried for one reason. The leftist press doesn't want you to know that your president just saved us. Then also, they want to fill your screens with the distractions and the sniping at the president that we're seeing this last week. Up till now, the sniping has been focused on Russiagate, which is a great big nothing burger. This week, the sniping is over Charlottesville, with which, of course, Donald Trump has nothing at all to do, no connection to him whatsoever. How do you get Donald Trump dragged into an event with which he has absolutely no connection whatsoever? It's an amazing feat of ledger domain. And let's just all hope it goes away pretty soon and that great news like the Korean story comes back onto our front pages and Donald Trump can get on with the business of being the greatest president in our history. Speaking of great presidents, let me play a little bit for you. One of the things Donald Trump said at his remarkable press conference yesterday, he said some very powerful things, stating, what about Thomas Jefferson? What about George Washington? Are they next? And Pat Buchanan writes about that today. We're going to cover that. Let me get that up on my screen. And Tucker Carlson talks about it also. Let's listen to Tucker Carlson.
Which statues are next, the president asked today. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. It's not a joke. Suddenly, it's a serious question. Thomas Jefferson indisputably was a great man. He was the author of the Declaration of Independence, founder of the University of Virginia, and maybe most importantly, the greatest thinker in American political history. All of us live in his shadow. Unfortunately, however, Jefferson was also a slaveholder. That's real. It's a moral taint. We ought to remember it. But to the fanatics on the left, it means that Jefferson must be purged from public memory forever. The demands are already coming that we do that. In 2015, students at the University of Missouri demanded the removal of a Jefferson statue. 2 years ago, on CNN, anchor Ashley Banfield suggested the Jefferson Memorial in Washington might have to go. Needless to say, there is literally no limit when you start thinking like this. Last year, hundreds of activists in New York demanded the statue of Theodore Roosevelt at the American Natural History Museum be dismantled. They argued that Roosevelt was a racist. That's the standard. Nobody is safe. Watch out, Abraham Lincoln. You're next. Now, to be clear, as if it's necessary, slavery is evil. If you believe in the rights of the individual, it's actually hard to think of anything worse than slavery. But let's be honest, up until 150 years ago, when a group of brave Americans fought and died to finally put an end to it, slavery was the rule rather than the exception around the world and had been for thousands of years, sadly. Plato owned slaves. So did Muhammad, peace be upon him. Many African tribes held slaves and sold them. The Aztecs did too. Before he liberated Latin America, Simon Bolivar owned slaves. Slaveholding was so common among the North American Indians that the Cherokee brought their slaves with them on the Trail of Tears. And it wasn't something they learned from the European settlers. Indians were holding and trading slaves when Christopher Columbus arrived. And by the way, he owned slaves too. Now, none of this is a defense of the atrocity of human bondage. It is an atrocity. The point, however, is that if we're going to judge the past by the standards of the present, if we're going to reduce a person's life to the single worst thing he ever participated in, we had better be prepared for the consequences of that. And here's why. 41 of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence held slaves. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, had a plantation full of slaves. George Mason, the father of the Bill of Rights, also owned slaves, unfortunately. But does that make what they wrote illegitimate? If these men were simply racist villains, and that's all they were, then the society they created is as evil as they were. There's no reason to respect its traditions or uphold its laws. The First Amendment, for example, the right to speak freely. For hundreds of years, Americans have revered it. Now, the left dismisses it as the work of white supremacist slaveholders. It is worthless, they tell us. It must go. It is now routine to hear liberals claim that hate speech, whatever that is, isn't protected by the First Amendment, though, of course, the whole point of the First Amendment is to protect speech that offends people. It's a statement of shocking ignorance, and yet it is now common. CNN's Chris Cuomo said it. He's supposedly a lawyer. At Pomona College in California, students there are claiming that free speech is, quote, a tool appropriated by hegemonic institutions, whatever that means.
Let me turn that down. Very good stuff from Tucker Carlson. A lesson in history, which the president was delivering to us himself in his own press conference. So that was very good. Very good writing from Pat Buchanan today. In which he asks, and I'll just give you this food for thought for you out there in the audience who might want to comment on this. Pat Buchanan says, if we erase our history, who are we? He says, when the Dodge Charger of 20-year-old Nazi sympathizer James Alex Fields Jr. plunged into that crowd of protesters Saturday, killing 32-year-old Heather Heyer, Fields put Charlottesville on the map of modernity alongside Ferguson. Before Fields ran down the protesters and then backed up, running down more, what was happening seemed but a bloody brawl between extremists on both sides of the issue of whether Robert E. Lee's statue should be removed from Emancipation Park, formerly Lee Park. With Heyer's death, the brawl was elevated to a moral issue, and President Donald Trump's initial failure to denounce the neo-Nazi and Klan presence was declared a moral failure. How did we get here? And where are we going? I'm going to skip a little bit here. It's all brilliant writing, so it's hard to edit this out. In Maryland, demands have come for removing statues and busts of Chief Justice Roger Taney, the author of the Dred Scott decision. Statues of General Stonewall Jackson, President Jefferson Davis, and Robert E. Lee have been pulled down in New Orleans. I'll skip some more. After Charlottesville, pressure is building for removal of the statues of Lee, Jackson, Davis, and General Jeb Stuart from historic Monument Avenue in Richmond, capital of the Confederacy. I'm going to skip more good stuff. Five of our first seven presidents owned slaves, as did James K. Polk. He's my favorite, who invaded and annexed the northern half of Mexico, including California. Skip down here some more. Skipping all this good writing. I don't know what to skip here. It's so good. If being a segregationist disqualifies one from being venerated in our brave new world, what do we do with Woodrow Wilson, who thought Birth of a Nation a splendid film, and who resegregated the U.S. government? Here's a quote I'd never heard. In 1955, Prime Minister Winston Churchill, imperialist to the core, urged his cabinet to consider the slogan, are you ready for this, Paul? Maybe you've heard it. I hadn't. Keep England white.
No, I hadn't.
Yeah, that's a... There's some surprising stuff in our history, wonderful, wonderful stuff, but it's been kept from us. Skipping down, our new America is to be, Pat Buchanan is writing ironically here, our new America is to be a land where all races, tribes, creeds, and cultures congregate. All are treated equally, and all move ever closer to an equality of results through the regular redistribution of opportunity, wealth, and power. We are going to become the first universal nation. All men are created equal is an ideological statement. Where is the scientific or historic proof for it? Are we building our utopia on a sand pile of ideology and hope? And then he ends his column, nevertheless, on to Richmond. Of course, talking about that avenue of statues. And good stuff there from Pat Buchanan. And I hope that triggers some thoughts here in our audience. Let me just see what we've got here on the calling board, if anybody's out there.
Just before we go to that,
yes,
the two historical dates. Today, it was pointed out to us at our memorial for Rincindle, is the Japanese festival to honor the dead. They go and honor their ancestors on the 16th of August every year. So it's probably appropriate that this was the day which we chose to honor Ernst Rindl, the great publisher and revisionist. And interestingly, he died on August the 5th, which was Hiroshima Day. So interesting little convergences, and it was a great memorial. We had a packed audience today, and it will be up on video, and it was a fitting farewell to a really great man who'd suffered a lot under both under the Canadian, American, and German justice systems.
Yes, and I'm glad he got to, when I asked you his age when he died, by the way, my son was born on August 5th. I'm glad that he was, I think you said he was 79? 70 what?
78.
Well, you know, for all that he endured, really an amazing ordeal, that he got that far and lived that long, really is a remarkable thing. He was attacked many, many times physically, and of course he suffered in jail, and probably shortened his life, Paul.
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Well, the looking at the call board here, we have someone already on the board who is our stalwart caller in Missouri, Rhonda. Rhonda, thank you for calling.
Help me, Rhonda.
Yes, hi, James. Hi, Paul. How are you doing? Hey, I have a question. Okay, first of all, jail food will absolutely shorten your life. But secondly, I'm right outside of St. Louis, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with the history of the Gateway Arch, the arch?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, built in by Eros, or is designed by Eros Saarinen, who's a Finnish-American architect.
Yes.
It's a sad day, James and Paul, when I have to call you guys and say, is it safe? Are they going to pull that down, too? Because it's part of the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial.
I was talking with a caller or one of the listeners to the show today, before the show, and really where this ends up is, Washington, D.C., remember, Obama, he has put in the works a plan to take Andrew Jackson off the $20 bill and replace him with, what's Tubman's first name? I forget it.
Harriet Tubman,
yeah.
I'm sure she did some good stuff, but you know what? This is getting ridiculous.
Well, no, I don't think she did. I don't think she did much good stuff because she was a close associate of John Brown and his murderous gang.
It was a murderous psychopath.
Well, yes, I learned it wrong. But you know, history is skewed. History is skewed. I learned it wrong in school. But you know what?
Well, let me give you this detail, Rhonda. Let me give you this detail. Harriet Tubman was described by John Brown, and folks, John Brown is one of these crazy people who starts a war. John Brown contributed very much to the fact that we had what Pat Buchanan. Well, excuse me, we've got a little break right here. We'll be right back. Go ahead and stay. We'll be right back.
Thank you. We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Folks, thanks for tuning us in. We're talking with Rhonda in Missouri. Rhonda, give us one more concise point, and then we're give us one more concise point.
Well, I just wanted to know if you guys thought that if that would be removed, and then I did a search to see if anything else was being removed, and they did remove a Confederate statue in Forest Park. And they found a time capsule. I don't know what it constructed, but, I mean, what was in there. But there was a time capsule underneath it, apparently. That'll be interesting to research, won't it?
Yes. Well, yes, it's a war. It is a cultural Marxist war on our white history, on our heroes. One of the weapons used is psychological shaming, that we should feel bad about people who actually are heroes, and as Tucker Carlson mentioned, what we white folks are distinguished for is not instituting slavery, but ending it. And the
base question was this, is that my main point was I wanted to get you and Paul, I don't know if George is there or not, but I wanted to ask you guys if you thought there was any reason whatsoever to remove the Gateway Arch. I don't know. I mean, I haven't done enough research, but I wanted to see if, I mean, because it is part of the Jefferson National Memorial Park.
Well, Rhonda, St. Louis. Yes. The short answer is no.
What do you guys?
No, that's not going anywhere. No, that's not going anywhere, Rhonda. Yeah, but and thank you very much. Thank you, Rhonda.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Sure. Bye bye. There's a good book out. Another listener to the show called up and said, Kelso, you need to let people know about a new book from Dick Morris entitled Rogue Spooks, The Intelligence War on Donald Trump. And this is published by St. Martin's Press, very good outfit. And he says, Dick Morris. Now, Dick Morris is an interesting story because he was one of Bill Clinton's, he was Bill Clinton's right-hand man. And you might immediately dismiss him and say, that guy's got to be a creep. I never want to hear anything from a guy who was Bill Clinton's right-hand man. But the story is more interesting than that. Dick Morris has become, I don't know how he made this odyssey, he's become a patriot, a really good patriot. And during, Dick Morris is one of those people who might be able to say, I made a crucial difference in electing Donald Trump. Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, a number of people, Michael Savage, they can all say this. They made a crucial difference. Jerry Falwell Jr. Probably brought hundreds of thousands of votes, maybe more, to Donald Trump. Well, Dick Morris did too. Dick Morris was writing in the pages of National Enquirer. Maybe not, it doesn't seem to be the most scholarly source, but it's really influential. He was writing every week in National Enquirer really good revelations about Hillary Clinton. And you see, Dick Morris, he used to work every day with both Hillary and Bill as their top operative. And so he can tell us things about these people that, in a way that almost no one else can. Anyway, his new book, Rogue Spooks, let me just read a little bit blurb about it. It's a bestseller already, not number one, but Well, a caller who listened to Dick Morris today and said we ought to try to get Dick Morris on the show, he said that among his recommendations, Dick Morris recommends that Donald Trump, overall, he said he's got to shift from a defensive to an offensive strategy, and that includes being as aggressive as actually appointing a special prosecutor to investigate the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller. And he says, and Morris says, look, I know the inside story here. This guy Mueller is dirty. Comey is dirty. The whole Hillary empire, he says that the top of the intelligence agencies, Obama came in and put dirty people in at the top everywhere. And Donald Trump is walking into a whirlwind of these people attempting a palace coup from inside. And Morris says, you're going to have to go on the offensive, Mr. President. And here's what he writes in his introduction. He says, the leaks demonstrated a new menace. This is the Mueller Comey. A new menace. The Intel/media complex. I like that phrase. A little break here. A chance for you to get a call in. We'll be right back.
The best of the free life is still yet to come. Good times ain't over for good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
We're back, folks. And I just noticed here on my screen an article on Breitbart concerning maybe a next target for the cultural Marxists. Get this one, Paul. You know, thinking on, isn't it just coming up, the motorcycle rally at Sturgis, which takes place at Mount Rushmore. So Mount Rushmore. Oh, my goodness. If you've been there, folks, you know how spectacular it is. We've got a caller here. Let's go to Scott in Arizona. Scott, what's on your mind?
Well, there's a point that everybody's missing here, is that the first legal slaveholder on the American continent was Anthony Johnson. And he was a black man, enslaving black men. So at these rallies, I think the point should be, or have signs with his image. You can download it off the internet. The first illegal slaveholder in America. And let it be known that it was a black institution that started slavery in America, and it was white people that ended it. No one says anything about the blacks starting slavery in America, legalizing it. It was black people.
Well, and Scott, I'll give my own personal story. In his will in 1692, my great grandfather, I forget the number, it might be like my eighth great grandfather, governor of the colony of Rhode Island at the time in 1692, Caleb Carr, my grandfather, his blood flows in my veins, wrote, "To my dearly beloved wife, I leave my Negro." So he didn't specify male or female, but he left his Negro. So yes, it was very common. Rhode Island, exactly.
It was mandatory by the England.
Yeah, but not, you know, well, not a southern state, Rhode Island. But yes, you're right. The white race ended slavery,
and the black race started it.
Yes, and the British Navy enforced that end of slavery. The British Navy patrolled the Atlantic and the Indian Oceans, and when they came across slave ships, they apprehended them. So they actually backed the abolition of slavery with military force. So yeah, that's our actual history. And but Scott, go ahead.
One more quick point. Mm-hmm. The number one cause for the American Revolution was to end slavery. You know, that's the number one cause of importance when they revolted against Britain.
Well, you know, we were talking about, I cut off the point on John Brown and Harriet Tubman. Thank you for reminding me her first name. John Brown, one of these people who started an unnecessary war. Now, that's a phrase that Pat Buchanan used to describe World War II. He wrote a book called The Unnecessary War, a brilliant book. He could write another book about the Civil War with the same title, The Unnecessary War. It never needed to happen. But people like John Brown made it happen. And he, John Brown, a crazy man who actually got his own sons killed in his crazy vigilante raids and so on and combat and bloody Kansas and other things. And at Harper's Ferry, I think he got his, one or two of his sons killed. What kind of a parent would do that? He was offered a surrender. I'm trying to remember who the officer was who was there to apprehend him. It was either Stonewall Jackson or Jeb Stuart, or maybe even Robert E. Lee, that was dispatched to apprehend him. And they offered him safe exit out of the Harper's Ferry arsenal, where there were some 100,000 guns in there, and that was his target. And he said, "No, I'm gonna fight with you," knowing that's gonna be his death and the death of his sons. But he called Harriet Tubman his recruiter among blacks, and his strategy, John Brown's strategy, was this: he was going to get those 100,000 guns at the Harper's Ferry arsenal, and then put them in wagons and head south, causing a slave revolt led by blacks recruited by Harriet Tubman. This is why the left loves Harriet Tubman, not just because she's black. And then they would go down in a bloody, just like bloody Kansas, they'd go down murdering white people as they had headed south. That was his crazy scheme. But when white people found out about this, when Southerners found out about John Brown, you know, this very much precipitated their desire to secede. Go ahead, Scott.
Right. Well, he just came to mind, the guard at Harper's Ferry was a free black man, and John Brown killed him. Or that group killed him, anyway. Yeah,
the first guy he killed was a black man, that's right. But that's the nature of fanaticism.
I don't think this is going to end well with these psychopaths going crazy.
I don't know. Brown show a man, the contemporary pictures show a man that's just a gaunt nutter. I mean, he looks like as if he's playing with somebody shy of a full deck.
Yes.
John Brown?
Yes.
Well, Scott, anything else on your mind here?
That's all for now. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Scott. And folks, that opens up a line. So if you want to call in, 800-313-9443. Looking at the current headlines here on Breitbart, they're covering all of the statues being taken down. And this has now led to a flurry of people tearing down monuments. So that's dominating on Breitbart. I like this one. Here's a great headline. The establishment media, shaken by the Trump press conference that we covered yesterday. this is a story I haven't read yet, so I'm looking at it for the first time. Let's see what they say. Journalists and reporters from establishment media reacted with horror to President Donald Trump's Tuesday afternoon press conference, in which he denounced media outlets for sensationalizing Saturday's deadly attack at a Charlottesville, Virginia, white supremacist rally. In a press conference ostensibly called to discuss the president's infrastructure plan, journalists badgered Trump, and that's the right word, they badgered him with questions about his response to the attack in Charlottesville, during which one woman was killed and another 19 injured, when a man deliberately drove his car into a crowd of protesters. And then there was no way of making a correct statement that early, the president said, of his initial response to the attack. And then he says, unlike you and unlike the media, before I make a statement, I like to know the facts. And then he says,
that was a very powerful jab, too.
Yes. In response to the press conference, NBC's Chuck Todd said he was shaken by what he had seen. Connor Friedersdorf, a staff writer for The Atlantic, urged disaffected White House staffers not to leave their posts and instead stay vigilant to look for evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors. They're desperate. They're desperate to impeach Trump in some way, get him out of that office. There's just a whole series. They're coming unglued about this great man, and so that's the latest there at Breitbart. And Drudge, what has Drudge got on his front page? He says Drudge has got. This is great. This is terrifying, folks. And this is what we at this show and what we in the Patriot cause, this is what we have to, this is where we come in. The Republicans to Trump, fend for yourself. Whoa. This is the, I'm going to try to find this story here. Let me, I'll just open it up straight up. I'll just open it straight through here. Fox's Shep Smith says, we couldn't find a Republican willing to come on and defend Trump. Fox News host Shepard Smith said Wednesday that the network tried and failed to get a Republican on air to defend President Trump's controversial comments on violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, over the weekend. Our booking team, and they're good, reached out to Republicans of all stripes. Let me try to get rid of this. Oh, my goodness. Sorry, folks. I clicked the wrong button, and I'm going to pay for that now. There's so many pop-ups now, you can't operate your computer. I'll tell you, it makes it really challenging on a radio show to get rid of these. Here it is. I got it back. Our booking team, and they're good, reached out to Republicans of all stripes across the country today. Smith said on his show, Shepard Smith reporting, let's be honest, Republicans don't often really mind coming on Fox News Channel. We couldn't get anyone to come and defend him here because we thought in balance someone should do that, he continued. Now, Shep Smith I don't like at all. So I have to consider the source here. But let's just...
I agree, Shep Smith.
Yeah, I think he's...
Yeah, no Republicans anywhere. Not one. Yeah. Thanks, Shep.
Yeah.
God, we need something better than Fox News.
Well, yeah, well, better than him. The Tucker Carlson, outstanding. Sean Hannity, outstanding. And So, you know, there is good stuff at Fox News.
You know, our side can win the presidency, James. When are we going to get that network we were talking about 8 months ago?
Well, interesting. Donald Trump has started something of a network on his own. He hired somebody to, you know, start doing newscasts. I'm very vague on this, but I saw the preliminary reports of it. Donald Trump may be starting a network right out of Trump Tower. That's a possibility. Another thing that we saw, and we reported on it here, is that as the Rupert Murdoch and his more liberal sons were contemplating, we were told, stripping Fox of people like Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, there was apparently a big meeting on the East Coast of people with a lot of money who were ready to bankroll a new network that would include Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson. And the and that, you know, so that is waiting in the wings as well. And it was Rupert Murdoch. Here's another Fox story. Rupert Murdoch, when Donald Trump was at his Bedminster, New Jersey golf course, working, he was working. And I've had, interestingly, people said to me, no, he was not going there to play golf. He was going there to get out of the White House while they stripped the walls and get the Obama bugs out of the walls. he wanted to get the hell out of the White House while he had said, you know, the place is a mess, it's a dump, and he's having it remodeled. And I'll tell you, I'm sure this is part of it. He's having those walls stripped down to find the bugs and to
both physical and electronic versions.
Yes. And at Bedminster, Rupert Murdoch showed up, and he urged Donald Trump to sack Steve Bannon. So thank you very much, Rupert Murdoch. And then we're staying tuned this week. This is the story we're watching. Is that in the press conference yesterday that was so remarkable, Donald Trump said, we'll see about Mr. Bannon. So that I was worried by that comment, because that's a little bit distant, a little bit off-putting. I'd rather hear him say, you know, Steve's a great guy, and Steve and I work great together. I wish he had said that. But I'm not going to have a freak out if Steve doesn't make it, because there are lots of reasons a guy could be let go, you know, drinking on the job, personal problems, infighting. There's so many different reasons a guy could be let go, and you're never going to find out. Nobody's ever going to announce what actually happened or is unlikely to. But what we do want, and I like what was it? Was it Congressman Meadows from North Carolina? Help me out, listeners, if I'm misremembering, who's the head of the Freedom Caucus in the House of Representatives. He communicated directly to President Trump. He said, please hang on to Steve Bannon for this reason. We patriots need to feel there's somebody who has your ear every day. We just need to feel that. And because, you know, there are neocons and the deep staters, of course, they're all around President Trump. There's no way around that. There's no way he could sanitize the White House or the whole administration. So we need to know that there's somebody who thinks as we do, who has access to you every day. We need that. So, of course, well, there'll be some hand-wringing here if Steve Bannon is let go. And we'll look for, well, who do we have? Who is in there who thinks as we do and who we trust and who is, you know, able to talk to the president every day. And right now, Steve Bannon is two doors down from the Oval Office in the West Wing. He just has to walk right by Jared Kushner's door to walk and knock on President Trump's door, and he's in the Oval Office. So that's the story on that one. Let's go to a caller, John, I think in Indiana. John, is that you?
Hello, how's it going?
How
you guys doing today?
Yeah, the sun is shining and Donald Trump is our president. Go ahead.
Well, hey, I was just calling about this whole situation. I think it's all just smacks of, like you guys mentioned, of desperation. I think it's just a bunch of nonsense that they're doing their best to try to hype up. And it's really just, I look at it as a good thing, because it just shows how desperate they are to mobilize their goons and their dupes to provoke something, and I think the average American person, you know, just isn't going to go for it. I mean, the average person doesn't care about that crap, you know? I mean, you guys thought that this whole thing is really kind of like, believe it or not, like what old Charlie Manson talked about way back when, about like this whole helter-skelter scheme of the elitists to try to use like the minorities to instigate race war and all of this chaos.
I'm going to come back to your original thought, which is more to the point. Will the great American public just weather this? I agree with you. I think they will. We'll be right back after this, folks.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Kelor Max's Nutramedical Heavy Metal Detox Formula includes DMSA, dimercaptosuccinic acid, EDTA, ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid, cilantro, chlorella, garlic in a special form that researchers have benefited from removing heavy metals, and acetylcysteine and alpha-lipoic acid. This oral formula is the best oral formula available in the world for removing heavy metals safely from the body. It also has a special shilajit addition of trace elements from the Himalayan mountains and humic fulvic acid to replace trace minerals drawn out by the Kelor Max. Kelor Max is the best oral chelation agent available in the world, and you can obtain it at Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com, 888-212-8871, that's Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com, or 888-212-8871.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be. What I love is someone bright enough to see. What I hate is what I hate, and I always will.
Welcome back, folks. I was just during as we're listening to Merle Haggard there, I was taking a little extra time to listen to Lou Dobbs. I'll tell you what, Lou Dobbs is so good, and he's another great one at Fox who could be part of a Patriot Network if it has to be formed out of the smoking ruin of Fox if the Murdochs take apart their own network. If you want to call in, folks, there is a line open at 800-313-9443. And if there's a listener out there who knows what the next, you know, I'm looking for, you know, great points of encouragement. What will be the next Donald Trump mass rally? I'd like to know. I'm looking forward to that. I hope he's got something planned big soon. And this, to go to the last point that John was making from Indiana, will the American people, will they brush this off, this incessant war of the media and, as pointed out by Dick Morris, the intelligence community put in place by Obama? He's calling it the intel media complex. Is the American public perceptive enough to let this slide off its back like duck off?
And we'll talk about it the rest of the week. I think it is. I'm not alienated. Yeah. I'm delighted. And then I'm George.
Yes.
Is Donald Trump's core, is his, you know, backing people who elected him, do they like him less? I don't think so. But that's me. I'm George.
I'm with you. And so I want to see that next great rally, like the one he just had in Huntington, West Virginia, where Jim Justice, the governor of the state. Notice, folks, you didn't hear that. That was the sound of one hand clapping. Jim Justice switches from Democrat to Republican governor, 6'7", giant of a man, very telegenic. But you didn't see it on national television. You didn't hear about anything about it. The press
Paul? I saw it was buried in another report. Yeah, as you say, a very significant defection. It's non-news. One thing that encourages me is I know my work.
Go ahead. We're going to come back. Well, you know what, Paul? I apologize. That's my fault. We just ran out of time. Paul, save the encouraging story for tomorrow night. We'll be right back with that for you, folks. And thank you all for being with us. I apologize for running out of time.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.